ध्यायामो धवलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् नित्यं निरन्तरानन्दम् चिद्घनं ब्रह्मनिर्भयम् श्रुत्या तर्कानुभूतिभ्याम् अहमस्म्यद्वयं सदा। फिफ्टीन चैप्टर ऑफ गीता विच इज ऑल्सो नोन एज पुरुषोत्तम योगम इट्स वन ऑफ द वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट श्लोकस सॉरी वन ऑफ द वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट चैप्टर्स ऑफ गीता। सो सम टाइम बैक 10-15 ईयर्स बैक अम्मा हैड आस्क्ड ऑल ऑफ हर डिवोटीज टू चैंट बाय हार्ट एंड चैंट द 15th चैप्टर एंड चिन्मया सेज दैट द 15th चैप्टर ऑफ गीता If a person has to learn the 15th chapter of Gita, then he has to go through at least a few chapters of Gita, few other chapters of Gita, as well as few Upanishad. So this is a very important chapter. So in this chapter, the truth has been explained very clearly. Of course, that is the same case with all other chapters, but here, the concept, it can be said to be the summary of Vedanta in general. And it's a very small chapter. It consists of just 20 shlokas. So, man or like human beings have been searching for happiness everywhere. So, happiness is the ultimate goal. That is the goal of life. That is the goal of not just human beings, but all beings want to be happy. So, that is sukam me astu or sukam, let me have sukam, let me be happy. So that is the goal, ultimate goal of life. Though we may be seeking one thing or the other, we may be seeking promotion, we may be seeking a house, we may be seeking a car, we may be seeking an entrance or admission into Stanford University or any other university. All those are ultimately, like all those can be traced back to happiness. So happiness is the ultimate goal of life. And that happiness, though a person tries to search happiness, happiness is being sought out in the external world. So a person goes on searching and searching and searching and searching, yet he cannot find happiness at all. So scientists have started searching for happiness by going to moon, going to Mars, going to various other planets. Even then, there is no happiness. So it is for happiness that everybody is doing some or the other action. Actions, the main reason, the main purpose of actions is happiness. If a person doesn't get happiness out of an action, a particular action, then such a person will not do that action at all. So that's the reason why people quit jobs, they quit and shift to another job, because they are not happy with what they are doing. It's happiness. If happiness is not there, then a person like will stop whatever he is doing and try to do something else. But the problem is not that happiness. So we may think that happiness is not at all there in the world, or happiness is not at all there. Oh, I have searched for happiness. It's like those archaeology people. I have digged quite a lot and I haven't found it, so I don't think it's there at all. I have searched for happiness from the past 50 years of my life and I haven't found it, so it is logical, it makes sense to think that happiness is not at all there. So that's not in the case. Happiness is always there, but happiness is being searched in the wrong place. So happiness means here it's not, oh, I am daily happy. I'm daily happy when I get up and find that I am alive. So it's not that happiness here. Happiness means that which is everlasting. That's what Vedanta calls as anandam or parama anandam or bliss. We can call it bliss. That which always exists, that which doesn't decay, that which doesn't get reduced, that which doesn't vanish, that which is always there, means that which is beyond time. That is the happiness that we are speaking about here. So such a happiness is definitely there. So we have to analyze as to where can such an happiness be. So come on, all these analysis is not required. Just get into Gita. All these are not required. All these are required. So why do we learn Gita? Because we think that after learning Gita, or by learning Gita, we'll be happy. By learning and implementing what Gita says, we'll be happy. That's the reason why we want to learn Gita. Else we will try out something else. We won't learn Gita. So we have to answer this question. And if we try to analyze this question, then happiness, eternal happiness, can eternal happiness be part of the world? The world is our experience spectrum, we can say. The world is the experience realm. So the world where many people have searched, they have searched for many, many years, and they have found that there is no happiness in the world. Parinama tapa dukkai hi gunavritti virodhasya dukkameva sarvam vivekinaha. I think I missed one word. Parinama tapa samskara dukkai gunavritti virodhasya dukkameva sarvam vivekinaha. This is Patanjali. It's not just Vedanta that says that the world is sorrowful. This is Patanjali Yoga Shastram, Yoga Sutras. In Yoga Sutra, Patanjali says that Duktam eva sarvam vivekinaha. A wise person will find out that this entire world is Dukkam. Dukkha samsaram, Dukkamayam. That is what Krishna says in the 9th chapter of Anityam, Asukam, Lokam. Lokam is Asukam, it is Dukkam, Dukkamayam. There is no happiness. Why is there no happiness? Because Anityam, it is changing. One thing that is always there in the world is change. The world is constantly changing. That changing world cannot give a person eternal happiness. That which is changing, how can it give happiness? So it's like telling, I think like I can get happiness from Obama. No, I cannot. Because after 5 years, he'll be out. 5 or 6 years, whatever is the presidential term, he will be out. After he is out, I cannot get happiness from him. So whatever is changing, that cannot give us eternal happiness. So we have to find a changeless entity in order to get happiness. Is there a changeless entity? Yes, of course, there is a changeless entity. Well, I don't see it. You don't see it because you haven't looked for it. Ananda rupini etiranyu. Amrita Swarupini Yetiranyu. Anandarupini Yetiranyu. Amrita Swarupini Yetiranyu. Ajnana Nashini Jnana Pravahini. Atma Swarupini Yenarinyu. Atma Swarupini Yenarinyu. So Anandarupini Yetiranyu. I am searching for Anandam and Amrita Swarupini. I'm searching for Amritam. The author says about a woman. No, it is somebody who has Anandam and Amritam. And Ajnana Nashini Jnana Pravahini. Finally, I found out that it is my Atman. So there is something called Atman. And what is that Atman? Yachcha apnoti yada adatte yachcha atti vishyanyah yachcha asya santato bhavah tasmad atmeti kirtyate. So Atman is that which gives yachcha asya santato bhavah. Yachcha asya, asya means jagatah. That which gives existence, that which gives consciousness, that which throws light on the world, that makes the world exist, that is Atman. So that means the changing world, anything that changes needs a changeless substratum. Some changes cannot happen of its own. If changes have to happen, there needs to be a changeless substratum. Without that changeless substratum, change is impossible. So the concept of variable and constant. A variable cannot exist of its own. A variable is a constant. At any point, it's a constant. Maybe it's a changing constant, but still, a variable is dependent on constant. The changing variable is, and we can say, it is an illusion in the constant, changeless constant, at any point of time. We just give it a name or call variable and say that, okay, it is so and so form. So it is just name and form. So change, okay, we'll get back to name and form, but change, for change to exist, there should be a changeless substratum. The changeless substratum of this world, that is what is termed as Atman or Brahman or Paramatman. All those are synonyms. They all mean the same thing. Oh no, Atman is myself. Brahman is supreme being. There is no such distinction in Vedanta. Once a person goes into Vedanta, Aham Brahma Asmi, I am Atma Brahma. So there is no distinction between Atma and Brahman. Ishvara, there is no difference between Ishvara and Brahman. All those mean the same thing. Oh no, I don't believe you. Vadanti tat tattva vidaha tattvam yat jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyati. Bhagavatam says that knowers of the truth call that truth, which is non-dual consciousness, as Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan, etc. Many words, many names for the same being, same person. There is one person, we call him by different names. We call him A, and at home we call him B. Some friends call him C, and some other friends say, like, A is not good, I will cut into half A, I'll call. So some people do that. So it's all the same entity. So that one entity, oh, can that one entity be blissful? Of course. Why not? Because it is changeless. That which is changeless has to be eternal. So that changeless entity called Brahman, you can call it Brahman or whatever a person is comfortable with, the person can use that term. In the Shastras, the Upanishads call it Brahman. So Brahman, that Brahman is eternal, and therefore that Brahman can give us eternal bliss. And the Brahman's nature is being said as Satchidanandam. It always exists. It is changeless, means it always exists. Therefore, it is existence or Sat. And it always shines. It always, if it exists at all times, then it should know that it exists. I know that I exist. So that knowledge of my own existence, that is called consciousness. Therefore, it is Chit. Since it exists for all, at all times, therefore it is Anandam. So that is Satchidanandam. Oh, why this 10-15 minutes about Brahman? Coming to Brahman. Because Brahman is the subject matter of all Vedanta. Brahman is the subject matter. That Brahman which is eternal, Satchidanandam, that should be the subject matter of any discourse that is based on Vedanta. If not, a person will not get Anandam. Oh, again, I don't believe you. This is not true. Oh, Paramatma goes on speaking about Srishti and this and that and all he does. Yes, but does he finally speak about Brahman? He has to. Oh no, I don't think so. Have you heard Mandukya Upanishad? Oh, what is that? That is where limitation comes. Paramatma's way of teaching is a systematic study. He himself says it is a systematic study. So for a person who is following Paramatma, he cannot just listen to one chapter of Gita and end it there. No, he has to listen to the entire set of Paramatma. And then Paramatma will take that person slowly from one level to another level to, and finally teach him the ultimate truth of Brahman in Mandukya Upanishad. So there is nothing wrong with Paramatma's approach. What is wrong is a person just going in between and then learning and then misinterpreting it. But the subject matter of Brahman has to be there, it should be there, if a person wants Anandam out of it. And it's not my word again. Anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajasva mam. Oh Arjuna, you have attained anityam asukam lokam. This world is anityam, changing, therefore asukam. Imam prapya, having attained this asukam lokam, bhajasva mam, seek me. Seek me, that is what Krishna says. What is me there? Oh, that means I should be a Krishna bhakta. Avajananti mam mudaha manushim tanumasritam. Param bhavam ajananto mama avyayam mama bhuta maheshwaram. Avyaktam vyaktimavannam manyante mam abuddhayah. Param bhavam ajananto mama avyayam anuttamam. So in the 7th chapter and 9th chapter, Krishna says that those are fools who consider me limited in this Krishna bhavam. This Krishna bhavam is just a form, it's just a rupam, it's not real. I am ultimately Ishvara, I am one with Ishvara. Oh, this is, you are the perfect guru. You say you are Ishvara, then how can I believe you? Wait, my dear child, I don't say I am Ishvara. I say everybody is Ishvara. Aham adishtya madhyam cha bhutanam anta eva cha. I am all beings. So it's not just the spiritual master doesn't say he is Ishvara. He says everything is Ishvara. Oh, everything, how everything can be Ishvara? Then Ishvara will become changing? No. The changing world is in fact an illusion in the changeless Ishvara, which means everything is essentially Ishvara. This is a word which Paramatma uses beautifully. So Ishvara, the world is essentially Ishvara. Even as various gold ornaments are just names and forms, and essentially all those are gold. Essentially it is gold, it's not that ornament. If we go to the goldsmith, he will not differentiate between ornaments. He'll say, okay, this is this much gold, this is this much gold. That's what he'll say. So his vision is true vision of gold ornaments. Similarly, the right vision of the world is that this changing world is an illusion in changeless Ishvara, which means it is essentially Ishvara, Ishvara with a name and form, that is Jagat. So Jagat means Ishvara with name and form. So Jagat is Ishvara with name and form, but there are two perspectives to it. We can just see the Nama Rupam and essential Ishvara we can ignore, or we can apprehend Ishvara while apprehending Nama Rupam. So the first vision, the vision where a person forgets Ishvara, is vision of ignorance. It is ajnanam, ajnana drishti. Whereas the second vision is jnana drishti. So ajnana drishti is when a person contemplates on nama rupam, which means he is contemplating on anityam asukham lokam. So he will get asukham, he'll get dukkham. Whereas when a person concentrates on Ishvara along with nama rupam, he will get anandam, because Ishvara is anandam, ananda swarupam. So Ishvara has to be the subject matter of any discourse on Vedanta if a person, if the listener, has to get anandam. Of course, difference, even as there are various ways in the world, similarly each and every person has a the speaking style of each and every person is different, the approach is different. So one person may not speak like exactly like the other person. So Paramartha will not speak like Balakrishnan Nair. Balakrishnan Nair may not speak like Nochur. Nochur will not speak like Amrita Swarupananda. So each and every person will speak differently, as Amma said in Michigan. All Mahatmas, all Jnanis speak about the same truth but in different ways. The same truth, it's old wine in a new bottle. So as per Paramartha, for the normal people, for people, the current day people who cannot directly contemplate on Ishvara, Paramartha takes them slowly. Balakrishnan Nair directly gives the truth. So all these are different ways. So everything is essentially all these Mahatmas, all these Jnanis to give the same truth. So getting back Ishvara, if we seek Ishvara or Brahman, then we will get Anandam. So the next question comes, Ishvara, who is Ishvara? Ishvara is all pervasive. If Ishvara is all pervasive, then Ishvara is our very nature as well. So Ishvara doesn't just reside in the entire world. Ishvara also resides in our heart. So that means Ishvara is our very nature. So that is where Shankara says as Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Brahman is Satyam. That means it is changeless. It is Ananda Swarupam. Jagat is Mithya. Mithya means Anityam Asukam. And Jivo Brahma Ivana Paraha. This Jiva, this limited being whom we think we are. I am so and so. I am so and so. What we think, that is in fact, that is essentially Ishvara. We are not different from Ishvara. We have with this I that we say, there is Nama Rupam associated with it in the form of body, mind, intellect, Ahankaram, etc. If we remove that Nama Rupam through purifying the mind, by contemplating in the mind that everything is Ishvara, I am also Ishvara, this body and all those are temporary, immediately we will become one with Ishvara and we will get Anandam. So this approach of trying to go from the world to Ishvara is what generally Vedanta takes up, because what is known to us, it is easy to explain or start from there. So that is what exactly Krishna also does, and this is also called as Chandra Shaka Nyayam or Arundhati Nyayam. We don't have to remember all those. We have to remember Ishvara Nama Rupam. As Ramana Maharshi said, Drishtim Jnanamayim Krutva Pashyet Brahmamayam Jagat. Drishtim Lokamayim Krutva. Everybody sees everything as world, not Ishvara. So when Jnana Drishti comes, Pashyet Brahmamayam Jagat. This world is seen as Brahman. That is what we have to follow. That is what is essential. That is what is required. So at least that we should remember, Ishvara Nama Rupam. And if we can understand as to the world is temporary and that's why we seek something eternal, that is why Vedantic or Vedanta is sought out, then it becomes easy to be in the spiritual path, stick on to Ishvara, it becomes easy. So it becomes easy to seek Ishvara. If we know that we are seeking happiness in the world and our way of seeking happiness is wrong, when we know that our way of seeking happiness is wrong, then it's obvious that we will seek something else. And unless like we know that our method is wrong, we will still seek on happiness in the way that we know from the world. So Krishna speaks, like Krishna will also give in the first few shlokas as to how to overcome this world, how to go beyond the world. Of course, we already know it now. Anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. So having attained this anityam and asukham lokam, this temporary and sorrowful world, seek me, do bhajanam. Bhajanam means ananya chintayanto mam ye jana pariupasate. Ananya bhajanam, seeing Ishvara everywhere. Mai eva mana adatsva mai buddhim niveshaya. In the mind remembering that, or trying to contemplate Ishvara, and in the intellect remembering that Ishvara is everything is just Namarupam in Ishvara. Namarupam is not real. Namarupam is just mithya. It's just an illusion. Everything is Ishvara. That is what is in the intellect. So fixing the mind and intellect onto me, such a person can get Anandam, and that is what would be explained here by Krishna through by giving an analogy or comparison to the world with a tree, Ashwatthama, Ashwatthama Vriksham.
So
So Krishna starts telling, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, I'm not going to chant, you can listen to chanting or by heart the shlokas later. Urdhva Moolam Adashakam Ashwattam Prahur Avyayam Chandam Siyasya Parnani Yastam Vedasa Vedavit. So this is Shankara quotes from one of the Puranas where this analogy or comparison is being taken up. But it is also found in Katha Upanishad. So many of the Gita shlokas can be found in Katha Upanishad. So in Katha Upanishad it comes, Urdhva Moolo Avakshakah Esho Ashvattas Sanatanah. So that's being used here. So the world is considered as a tree. So, and it's not like a normal tree. So this tree is very special. It has to be special. The world has to be very special because it is full of sorrow. And it's not just full of sorrow. It is full of sorrow, but still it deludes people into making them think that I have happiness, come. It's like made of saying that, oh, come, I'll give you steady returns. Come, and finally, tow, come down. You get a blow in the head, and then all of a sudden people will start like, oh, I lost, and then people will commit suicide. That is what will happen. So this world is it's a very special tree. And this tree is Ashwatta Vriksham. So Ashwatta Vriksham, it's the tree like which people tree is what generally it is translated in English as far as I know. So we can find this tree in many places. In Pune, there are many trees, many people trees. In some other places you can find. Of course, in modern cities like Bangalore or Chennai or Delhi and all, you can't find it because people are against trees, so they cut trees. All those are good. Nobody is against that. So you cut trees and then after 10 years, people will start, the same people who had cut trees, they'll start, green friends, we are green, we should be green. And then they'll start telling things. Oh, by the way, you are saying green, right? Shouldn't cut trees, you should help save the environment, right? Yes, of course. Then how do you come to work? Oh, I use a bike. So that is how our implementation of things are. So that's all fine. All those are fine. But we have to always remember that any green friend or any social service, this service or smile, whatever social service are there, protecting cancer people, whatever is there, all those are fine. But without this proper knowledge, without knowledge of Ishvara and Namarupam, all those will not give us Anandam. It is just a misnomer that all those will give Anandam. Eshwar Arpitam Na Ichchaya Kritam Chitta Shodakam Mukti Sadakam. So Nishkama Karmam. When a person does all those social service activities wherein he offers on to Ishvara and doesn't seek anything in return, that only Chitta Shodakam, it purifies the mind and it helps in liberation. It doesn't give liberation. It cannot give liberation. Jnana, without jnanam, chittasya shuddhaye karma natu vastu upalabdhaye vastu siddhir vicharena na kinchit karma koti bihi. So Shankara says that through crores of karma we cannot get anandam. We cannot get realization. Realization happens only through this knowledge and abiding in this knowledge. Oh, what about bhakti? Bhakti is this only. Tadarpita akila acharata tad vismarane parama vyakulata cha tasmin ananyata tad virodishu udhasinata cha. So Narada has explained that, explained bhakti very beautifully. Bhakti is the same as jnanam. Abiding in Ishvara, remembering that everything is Ishvara, everything is Namarupam in Ishvara, so everything is Ishvara. That is the one and only way. Tameva viditva, tameva vidvan amrita iha bhavati nanyapanta vidyate ayanaya. There is no other way than this. There is no other way than this. If we think there are shortcuts, If we think just by doing social service we can get moksha, then the great social service people of the world, all those people will become Jeevan Muktas. No, each of them complain. They go to Amma and say, "Oh, Amma, why don't you do a little bit more? Oh, why don't you donate to my organization?" That's what they complain. So they also have complaints, because without knowledge, all those cannot happen. That's the difference between Amma's social service and all other social service. Amma's social service is based on Ishwara Arpanam. So even in normal social service, there is no Ishwara there. People do, "Oh, why do you, what are you doing? Oh, we have to protect Prakriti." "Oh, can you tell me what is Prakriti?" "Oh, Prakriti is also life. Oh, plants are living, don't you know that? Oh, scriptures say, don't you know that? Chandogya Upanishad says, plants are living. So we have to protect them." Okay, go on protecting plants until you cannot protect yourself. Then who will protect you? The plant? No. Yama will protect you. So that is what will happen. So there is no Ishwara Arpanam even in social service activities. Ishwara Arpanam is essential. That is essential for Nishkama Karmam. And such Nishkama Karmam can only purify the mind. Without knowledge, there is no shortcut. There is no shortcut at all. We can go to Amma, we can go to Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, we can go to Sai Baba, we can go to any other Mahatmas who are there or Jnanis and ask them, "Is there any other way? Can I skip knowledge? Oh, I cannot understand this. So can I just skip knowledge?" There is no way at all. If somebody says there is a way, "Oh, I'll help you, my dear child, come." Then you can know there are only two ways to interpret it. One is that the person is a fraud. Second is that the person is like a Sadguru, like Amma. So the person will say, Amma will say, "Oh dear child, you cannot understand Jnanam, that's fine, come to me. Come, like I'll show you the simplest path." She'll slowly give us whatever we want and say, "Okay, do this, do that. Or do Dhyanam, do Japam." So Amma Nashta Kachavadatina Tayaralla. Amma is not, Amma will not have any business where she doesn't get anything. So she will give whatever we need. Along with that, she will give sadhanas as well. And she will ensure that, we get blows out of whatever worldly possession that Amma gives. Of course, people fail to notice. Even when people get a lot of things from Amma and along with that they get blues, they again go back to Amma and cry like a small baby. All those like 20 years or 30 years old children who still catch on to their mother's sari. So if something happens, "Mummy, mummy, ye ho gaya. Mummy, mummy, ye wo ho gaya." So they don't know. Similarly, they will again go and ask things. So that is how people do. But ultimately, Amma will ensure that we face lot of sorrow. Oh, wouldn't this make Amma a sadistic person? No. Amma doesn't do anything there. The world, it's the nature of the world. Amma just wants us to be focused. She knows that the sorrowful world will give sorrow. So she will give worldly possessions. But along with worldly possessions, sorrow also comes. That is part of the agreement. That's part of worldly objects. If it's like one of those cases, if you buy something, you will get free. You can't say, "Oh, free, you can keep it, I don't want it." You can't do that. You will get it. You have to own it. There is no other way. But Amma will ensure that we go back to her again and again, so that as if we look at Amma's public speech 15-20 years back and now, we can see the difference. Amma has progressed. Earlier, Amma used to say about good things. Amma used to say that people come with sorrow, this, that and all. But nowadays, Amma is also speaking knowledge. Amma is saying, happiness is the goal. That is what we have to seek. We have to seek Ishwara along with all this. Don't give importance to the world. Don't give too much importance to the world. Give whatever is required and then seek Ishwara as well along with it. That is what even Balakrishna Nair says. So there is no shortcut. This is the only way. Anyway, the world is very tricky. The world is a special tree. So it is called Ashwatha Vriksham, so people tree. So the speciality of the tree is, if we have seen the tree somewhere, we can see that from branches, from each of the branch there are roots, as if roots downwards. So it's like many roots. The tree, if we look at the tree, from each branch we can find kind of roots. So many roots. They don't touch the ground, but they are like roots coming down. So it's a special tree. So here, Krishna says that the world is an Ashwatthaṁ tree. But there is a special Ashwatthaṁ. What is the speciality here? Urdva Moolam. Moolam means root. So the root of this tree is above. So root is above. Adashakam. Adashakam. Adaha. Below are the branches. Ashwatthaṁ prahuhu avyayam. This Ashwatthaṁ prahuhu is said to be avyayam. And it's something which doesn't decay. So can any tree be undecaying? No. Then why the word avyayam here? Avyayam from worldly perspective. Maya, when we say about speak about maya, maya is, you know, anadi and anantam. That's what we say. Is it really anadi and anantam? No, it is anadi. But it has antam. When jnanam comes, all this end. So this tree from our perspective, from ajnana drishti, is avyayam. Empirically, from the viewpoint of the tree, it is non-ending, undecaying. Amma gives a very beautiful example to show this. When we are inside a forest, everywhere we see the forest, there is duality. There is duality everywhere, and it is non-ending. We cannot find the end of the forest. Very tough. We have to go here and there and to find the end of the forest. So there is duality and there is non-ending nature as well, avyayam. But when we come outside the forest, what do we see? We see just one forest, non-duality, and then we see that it has ending. It is not undecaying or non-ending. So within the world, from the world is this explanation that this Ashwatthaṁ is avyayam. Avyayam in what sense here? It will again continue as Shankara says, Punarapi Jananam Punarapi Maranam Punarapi Janani Jatare Shayanam. Again and again it continues. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Infinite. Therefore it is called Avyayam. And this Ashwatthaṁ is, so this Ashwatthaṁ, this special tree, is upside down. We can say in simple words, it's upside down. Urdhva Moolam. Moolam. The root is top and branches are below. So this has been explained by many acharyas in different ways. So one of the simplest explanation that is used is that moolam, what is, okay, I hope till now it's clear. This tree is upside down, or moolam above and branches below. Root is above and branches are below. So some people interpret it this way. There is below also moolam, roots are there, above also roots are there. And that is what Krishna says in the Adashcha Moolani Anusantatani. In the second shloka, Krishna says that clearly. So that means this tree has roots above and below both. So consider it as a normal tree, it's not upside down, it's a normal tree. The normal tree has root, a normal tree which has root above as well. So root, what does root signify? Root signifies the cause. Root is what holds the tree. So what holds this world? What is the basis for this world? Of course, we have already discussed it. The basis of this changing world is changeless Brahman. So that Brahman is above. So Brahman is above means Brahman is beyond this world. That is what is the meaning there. So that is one way of interpreting it. So big, Shankara says that it is very big. This the root of this tree, which is Brahman, is very big. Mahat means it is all pervasive. It is beyond the world. It is very big. Therefore, it is it's said that this tree has roots above. And Chinmaya gives another interpretation or explanation for this, that it's a hierarchical structure. So hierarchy, in hierarchy, the topmost comes at the top. The main person comes at the top. The main person is Brahman. So that's why it is said that the root of this tree, the basis of the tree is top. So we can have three explanations here. One is that Brahman, this moolam of this tree, which is Brahman, he is beyond the tree, therefore it is said to be above. And second is that it is all pervasive, it is very big, therefore it has to be above, or just above the world, because it is very big. So one, it is above the world because it is the substratum. It is above the world because it is very big, all pervasive, and three, hierarchical structure. In short, if we can't remember all this, all those are fine. Brahman is the substratum of this world. If we remember that much, Brahman is the basis, it is the moolam. And this moolam is urdhvam because it is beyond the world. Is Brahman's... Oh, Brahman is a substratum of the world. So isn't Brahman caught by the world? Isn't Brahman caught in between the world? Not at all. Brahman is Sakshi. Brahman is in this world, but still Brahman is not at all affected. Oh, how can that be? Krishna says in 9th chapter, it's like Swapnam. In Swapnam, we are caught up in Swapnam. The dreamer is caught up in Swapnam, but is he affected by it? Not at all. He's beyond Swapnam. While dreaming, he seems to be in Swapnam, but in fact, he's above, beyond Swapnam. So this root is beyond the world, beyond the grasp of the world. It is there. Ishvara is there essentially in Namarupam, but Ishvara is not bound by the fault of Namarupam, which is Anityam Asukam. Namarupam is Anityam Asukam. Essentially, it is Ishvara. Ishvara is Nityam and Sukam. So it's like rope in snake. In rope we see snake. The snake doesn't affect the rope at all. Rope is a substratum, but the rope is beyond the snake. And the snake say, "Ah, oh rope, I am going to destroy you now." It's impossible. The rope is always beyond the snake. So in similar way. So this is again avyayam. So avyayam, like Shankara uses this, we can say avyayam is with respect to this world. Inside the world, it is never ending. While dreaming, the dream goes on and on and on. While dreaming, Swakale Satyavad Bhati Prabode Satyasad Bhavet. While we are dreaming, it is never ending. It is, seems to be very real, it is never ending. Whereas after we wake up, we realize that it is not real. While dreaming, it is real. Real means avyayam. Avyayam means decay. Decay means unreal. So undecaying, avyayam means undecaying, which means real. So while dreaming, the dream is real. While waking up, it becomes unreal. So similarly, this world is real, is non-ending. While in the world, that's why Maya is called, it goes on and on and on. Unless a person seeks the substratum. The moment substratum is sought, the world becomes, world ceases to be avyayam, which Krishna himself will say in the third and fourth shloka. So chandamsi yasya parnani. So its roots are above, branches are below. Of course, branches have to be below as usual. And chandamsi yasya parnani. 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 So parnam means leaf. So the leaves of this tree is chandas. Chandas means chandas, we can say as meter, but here chandamsi means Vedas. So if we look at any tree, when the tree is really growing, now the weather, since it is winter, trees don't have any leaves. So how do we say the tree is growing? By looking at the leaf. If it has a lot of leaves, if it has good leaves, then that means the tree is growing. So leaf is the basis for the growth of the tree. So here, the tree is... the tree of world exists because of Vedas. So Vedas here means Vedic rituals. So Vedic rituals, that's why Amma always says, some spiritual people, some people who do Vedic rituals, that is, they are holding this world. So, or if it's simpler to understand, then karma. So here Vedas means the karma kandam. So karma is what sustains this world. And we already know, kurvate karma bhogaya karma kartum cha bunjate. Person does action to enjoy, He enjoys again to do action, this never-ending chain of action, karma and phalam, karma and phalam, karma and phalam that go on. So a person does action again and again and again and again, and that is what uplifts this tree. So that means karma, through karma, if karma is what sustains this tree, karma is the leaf for this tree, then can we go beyond the tree with karma? No. Aviroditaya karma na vidhyam vinivartayet. Vidhya vidhyam vinihanti. So I forgot the rest. So tejas timira sangavat. So karma, karma is the cause, like karma is caused out of avidya, and therefore it cannot remove avidya. So karma is the basis of this tree. Through karma we cannot go beyond the tree, because the more we karma do, we may think that the more we more karma we do, the we can go beyond the tree. But the more we are nourishing the tree, it will still grow more and more. So that is why nishkama karmam, and through that jnanam, where a person changes the state of naishkarmyam, karma less state, kartratvam, there is no doership, there is no karma at all, that is when a person goes beyond this tree. So chandamsi yasya parnani yaha tam veda sa vedavit. A person who knows this tree, he is a yas tam veda, yaha tam veda, tam means this tree, ashvatam veda sa vedavit. He is knower, he knows everything. So knowing the world, how can we know the world? Again, if we are part of the world, we are, taking Amma's example, we are inside the forest, we cannot know the forest, we have to come out of the forest. So as long as we are part of this tree, we cannot know this tree completely. So a person who comes beyond this tree, a person who seeks Ishvara and goes beyond Namarupam, such a person knows this tree very clearly. How does he know the tree to be? He knows this tree to be Anityam Asukam. He knows that this tree is temporary and sorrowful. So that is two words to explain this tree. So Shankara, like when Shankara quotes from the Purana, he gives different other parts of the tree, like the branch, fruit, fruits are sukha dukkam and all those. Like interested people can go through the MP3 in the site where all these are explained. So in short, karma is what sustains this world. Karma anubhandini manishya loke, in the second shloka Krishna will say. So this world is based on karma. Karma here specifically means sakama karmam, because nishkama karmam, a person, when a person does karma without seeking anything, Ishvara arpitam nichaya kritam, then that doesn't lead to more and more karma. That doesn't lead to more karma. There is no kamam there, therefore there is, it puts an end to karma. It doesn't continue. Whereas sakama karmam, when a person does karma seeking something, then kurvate karma bhogaya, a person seeks something, seeks enjoyment and does karma, and then work for 1 month and get some money and then enjoy, and after enjoying, like enjoy, why do you have to enjoy? Because I have to do more action. And why do you do action? Why do you work? I have to get money and enjoy. Why are you enjoying? Because I have to work again. That continues. So here it means karma. Through nishkama karmam, we can cross over the world. Through karma, normal karma, sakama karmam, we will not be able to cross this world at all. So, in short, knowledge of this world means a person who does nishkama karmam, who has knowledge and who seeks the urdhva moolam. The moolam, the root of the tree which is above, that is being sought. So, a person who seeks that, he goes beyond this tree. He crosses over this tree. So Krishna himself will give in the third shloka a couple of characteristics or a couple of qualities to overcome this tree, how this tree can be cut down. But in short, this tree is based on karma, karma lokam. It is nama rupam. It is not real. Its moolam is Brahman or Ishvara. The moment we seek Ishvara, this tree becomes an illusion, or put in Paramartha's words, it seemingly exists. That means it exists, seemingly exists, let it exist. For a person who sees water in desert, it's no problem at all. Seeing water in desert is not a problem if we know that the water is not real. So seeing water in desert is not the problem. The problem is seeing water in desert and considering the water to be real. That is when we will run behind the water, and then we will be sad when we don't get water. So it's not seeing water in desert. A jnani also will see water in desert, but he doesn't run behind it because he knows that there is no water. Even if he runs behind the water in desert, he always remembers that the water in desert is not real. It is just an illusion. So he knows that that knowledge of this entire world being anityam asukham. Anityam asukham means nama rupam. Makes him remember that there is no anandam in the jagat, but through the jagat a person can get anandam. How can a person get anandam? Through the jagat, by seeing Ishvara everywhere, by remembering that this entire world is Ishvara, that drishti bhedam, that gives us anandam, that takes a person from dukkham to anandam. Drishti bhedam, it is not action, karma bhedam. Karmas are fine. We can do normal karmas. Whatever karmas we do, all those are fine. But we have to have the knowledge, drishti, internal vision, that all these are just an illusion. They are nama rupam in Ishvara. So let me do action, whatever I have to do. I'll do them as offering to Ishvara. How can I not do as an offering in Ishvara? So imagine seeing Amma everywhere. Oh, the laptop in front is Amma, the plate is Amma, food is Amma. Then what will we do? If Amma is right in front of us, we will respect Amma. We will offer everything to Amma. Take this. Oh Amma, like I am shutting you down. Oh Amma, I am cleaning you. Oh Amma, I am going to eat you. Okay, don't feel afraid of that. Amma will not scold you if you eat her. She'll be very happy if you do that. So that is the vision that a person has to have. So if we see Ishvara everywhere, then automatically Arpanam will come, because if we see Ishvara everywhere, then we cannot but offer everything to Ishvara. So if offering is not, if we can't remember offering, still fine. Remember that everything is Ishvara. Mechanically in the mind, remember everything is Ishvara. That will take us beyond Nama Rupam. The moment we go beyond Nama Rupam, we are going from the world, from the Anityam Asukham Lokam to Urdvamoolam, to the root, the real root of Ishvara. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to go beyond this this Anityam Asukham Lokam and get Anandam in this very birth itself. We'll continue later. Namaskar.